Welcome to the Off the Road Again podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Ross.
And I'm Jeff. I was trying to, they wrote in show notes to do a burp, and I was going to try to do it real quick, but I don't have one in me, so no.
My favorite part of that is just my memory of every time we've started a show with you before, and I know you've always messed with us, so yes. I was like, yes. Just put this in here.
I like ruining podcasts.
I mean, do you ruin them or do you make them better? Like,
debatable.
Yeah. Beauty is the eye of the beholder, all that.
There you go.
Welcome to our podcast, The Beer Holder, definitely. It's our audio podcast,
our video podcast.
I'm our very radio tired.
Vocal so, show.
Summer has started, and so instead of my children leaving the house and going to school, I am now surrounded by three of them while I'm trying to work, and so. And then you get to the weekend, you're like, oh, that's the time to relax. No, your kids are still here on the weekend. So I'm tired. I'm wiped out a little bit.
I hear you. We did first birthday party over the weekend. So it's been shit show city here.
That's fun.
Were there or were there not adult beverages?
I opened my first beer at 11:51 in the morning.
Okay, good. Yeah, as long as like, like they... Until they're like three or four, like they should definitely be a part of it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is our podcast, Anything and Everything Off-Road. We're socially distanced. Ross is in California. I'm in the Midwest. I'm not bringing a lot of energy tonight. Sorry, guys.
Monday night shows are tough. We had a good stretch where we were doing like other nights of the week, but Monday night, everybody's just burnt out.
Yeah, Thursday. We should all switch to Thursday night shows.
The one night that Chris can't do.
No, I could do it right now because Little League is technically on pause until the postseason tournament, and that doesn't start until after the 4th of July break. So I think I could do Thursdays again in the future if we need to. Like, we can go back to that date. So,
noted.
Yeah, we'll. Yeah, just don't.
I can't for the
next. Yeah, I know. You have like. You have a commitment.
I have three of the next five weekends. I leave at like 5 a.m. on Friday morning. So can't.
I was going to make a note this show to be like, hey, if you don't see Ross for a bit, it's not that he's left or I didn't kick him out. Like he's super busy and we're so
I got fired. No, seriously.
No, this is definitely in the realm of Can't Get Fired Productions. Like, we don't have, there's no budget. Like, okay. So, you have GX updates, kind of.
I do. Kind of, yeah. So, I had two companies very kindly send me things that I have yet to install on the truck, but that are sitting in my garage, which was like, it must have been 97 degrees and 95% humidity in there yesterday when I walked in there.
Gross.
Scan Gauge sent a Scan Gauge 3, which is the one with like the full screen, not just the little like, you know, analog looking guy. So I'm going to use that to monitor transmission temperature on the Lexus because for some reason, Lexus didn't incorporate a worthwhile trans cooler on the 460 until 2019, and mine's a 2018. So it's primarily to help keep tabs on that, you know, like in low range, high temperature crawling type stuff and towing. And I honestly don't know if we've even talked about the Lexus on the show recently, but I pulled the running boards off and I trimmed all the mud flaps and stuff. And White Knuckle Off-Road sent over a set of sliders, which are in the garage and will definitely, those are really, really needed on the truck, so we'll update. But they're bolt on, so it should be pretty reasonably straightforward.
Are they pretty beefy, or are they kind of hidden? Like what's
they're style? No, they're flat and they're kickouts, so they like they're meaty. I mean, they weigh like 68 or 71 pounds or something each. So
nice,
but yeah, they're not like the high tuck ones like you get on a Jeep, like the factory. Right. You know, sliders, or they call them like rocker guard protectors or whatever. These are like real, like rock sliders, you know, meant for you to be able to pivot around rocks or off trees or stuff.
If
you gotta do what you gotta do. which, given the nature of the trails around here, you know, that's what we do. So that'll be fun. And the only other thing I'll tease is that I have a whole bunch of good press cars coming. I have a Durango Hellcat coming this Friday, and then the Kia EV6 GT the week after, the Alpina B7, and then I'm taking a Raptor R up to Maine for an ATV trip. So I'm going to put about 800-something miles on a Raptor R with 1,000 pounds of quad in the bed. So that should be single-digit miles per gallon, but probably the most fun single digits I'll ever get.
Your gas card is – your gas bill is going to be a lot.
It was either tow with the Lexus, which also would have been, you know, probably 13 or 12 miles per gallon, or, you know, Ford is being very kind and letting me play with a Raptor. So we still sound good.
Because it has a huge tank.
Does it? What is it?
Yeah, it's like 36. It's either 33 or 36. Yeah.
Okay. Because I know GM does 32 on like the Suburban and thing and everything. And I know there's a 36 that's optional on the F-150. So
yeah, I forget if it's the 33 or the 36, but it's a Mondo tank. So
36 was my quick Google search.
Fun. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Which is four more gallons than the Suburban.
should we take bets on if it's going to be single or double digits? You know, it's like there's a bunch of elevation up in like North Maine. I'm thinking maybe 11.
It's not like it's not like that truck is very optimized for towing, even with that monster engine. So,
well, it'll luck. Is the quad in the bed?
The quad's going in the bed.
And okay.
Apparently, it has a payload of 1,400 pounds, which 1,000 pounds of quad, me, and then all my shit is I'm going to be at payload. So,
yeah, but you're also probably going to be over gross vehicle weight because I think they play games with the payload. I think the payload capacity is X, but the actual capacity of what it really is based on gross vehicle weight rating is less.
Well, that's awesome to know.
Yep,
I'm sure that thing's not going to
air
at all. Okay, noted. But I don't think it's going to give two shits about.
No, it won't. Quad and it won't.
Whatnot. I think there's a cat scale in one of the rest stops, like once you get into Maine. So I'll try to jump on there and see what.
That'd be kind of funny to see. Yeah.
If we break the 8 number, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Probably.
I was doing more searches and math. I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like trying to. I was like, no, that's not. Well, that's good.
That's the fun in my quarter. I'm off most of his stuff. So,
yeah. Well, because it's my story is still playing out, and so I don't want to like preempt it. Like I have something on order that everyone on the podcast will be very curious, just because of like where I ordered it from, and the actual cost of it, like.
Yeah, not where you would traditionally order one of these
items from. Let's let it play out a little more, and then we will we'll circle back. I did the Lexus only. See, we're turning into a Lexus show. So my LX470.
We've been a Toyota Lexus show since the start.
That's true.
Don't kid yourself.
But I actually had some frustration with the Lexus after I got it. Is like I closed the liftgate one day and the license plate housing for one of the license plate bulbs, there's two of them, and it just like fell down. It was like, you know, like when somebody gets their eye popped out, like it was just like hanging on the back of the truck. Like
at the end of Hostel.
I literally have never seen that movie.
Yeah. Oh man.
It was I've seen enough weird movies.
Those countries actually tried to sue, like one of the countries tried to sue the director because of that.
Robert Rodriguez?
No. It's not Robert Rodriguez. It's what's his name?
Eli Roth.
Yeah, it was Eli Roth. They tried to sue him because similar to how like the Kazakhstan tried to sue Borat, you know, like in the hospital, whatever country's depicted, it's you're like, well, I'm never going there. And it actually hurt their tourism.
Huh. I mean, that movie hurt my, you know, psyche for a couple days after seeing it. So I can't blame them.
Slovakia was pissed.
God,
that movie,
which is
gnarly,
like, which is hilarious because it was filmed in Czech Republic. So like they used to be the same country, and Czech Republic was like, "Nah, we'll stick it to Slovakia."
Yeah,
that was the era of just like needless blood and gore and violence. It was.
Well, I feel like Hostel began that genre or like that trend of like
Saw might have been before Hostel though.
It was like,
was it?
It was like I don't Saw, know. Hostel, The Hills Have Eyes, and
Saw was before because Hostel was 05 and Saw 2 came out in 05.
Oh, there you go.
Saw wasn't scary. Oh, The Ring was the other one that everybody was freaked out about at the same time. But that, like, those weren't scary, you know?
Well, they weren't. Just,
yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways,
I like horror comedy, so like, I don't like those.
Like Tucker and Dale.
Vs. Evil is a delightful movie. Shaun of the
Cabin
Dead.
In the Woods is a good one.
Cabin of the Woods. Awesome. Great. I will actually watch that one.
Brilliant, brilliant movie.
I feel like that movie provided us with a meme because it's the guys in the bedding. It's like, who had for like the last, 7 years? Like, I feel like that's like the constant. Who had Russian paramilitary group turning on the country of Russia?
Who had hoax submarine?
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, that's a rabbit hole. I haven't been down yet. I am super excited for you to drive Raptor R, though, because I didn't get a lot of time with it. And what I did get, I was absolutely insane and so much fun. It's a special
truck. If only it didn't cost more than the down payment on my house was.
I drove one that was $111,000.
Yeah, they're typically like $112,000 to $115,000 from what I've seen. And I reconciled it when I shot video of the Raptor R because if you think about everything the truck can do, like it is crazy expensive. But it'd be like comparing it to a supercar, which you could take from the showroom and go to a racetrack. Whereas with the Raptor R, you could take and drive to, Ensenada and run on some of those trails down in Baja. You could do that with that truck.
The closest thing, not a TRX or anything that's like, you know, an immediate competitor, quote unquote, would probably be like the 911 Dakar, like something that can like do a bit of everything, but it's just
Raptor is it's like that, but it has room for five. It's comfortable, you can put stuff in it, you can use it every day, you know, all that stuff. And then if you still want to, you can just point it straight in the desert and go.
Yeah, and go. Which that was my experience on it, Jeff. Was a mild off-road course, and there were sections like once I cleared an incline, I was like, all right, well, I can do 50 miles an hour for the next 45 seconds till I get to the tight corner. And it was so much fun because you didn't feel anything.
Right. Is the blower as...
No.
Not TRX level of...
It is a more mature version of a supercharger on a V8 because that was...
Yeah.
YouTube video with a guy and he was like, I love the blower, the TRX. And I was like, I despise it. I don't want to hear any of it. Like, just give me the power. Don't give me the noise.
Yeah. Fun for the first like 10 minutes on the TRX. And then it's.
Yeah. You're like, I have ears that are listening to this always. Like, I can't turn my ears off. So, I'm intrigued by your like pure highway miles and then probably some fire roads as you get out to where you're going with the quad. So, like, I'm very.
We'll see if we can move sideways with 1,000 pounds in the back.
I completely got us off topic because I was talking about replacing the license plate housing. The eye-popping Hostel reference totally derailed us.
Oh god.
Anyway,
thanks for
I picked the license plate Yeah, I fixed the license plate light housing on the back of Lexus. I had to order it from a Lexus dealer out in California. I could not, my local guys could not track it down. And I was like, you know what? I finally got it. What I ordered online wasn't what I needed, because that's how these things always work with older vehicles. And eventually, like, the parts guy calls you and you like talk it out. And right. I got it. The light went right into it, zipped right into the back of the truck. And now I have eliminated that. There is a piece of trim that has popped off the rear lift gate just in one spot. That's like my next like little thing to address on it. Other than that, Lexus is running great. I think the Sequoia is leaking something.
Yeah, that's vague.
Well, right. I had to replace the right front CV boot after the Moab trip because we tore the boot. Mm-hmm. And now something is dripping on the driveway from the front of the Sequoia. So I did have it serviced at my local dealer. So I will be calling them up and having it go back to them. And if they need to replace a axle shaft seal on the inside, like, do it, guys. Like, what are you doing? You were already in there once.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if it was
grease, I would too,
leaking, because it doesn't, generally just splatters all over the place.
It literally looks like an oil leak, and I'm not sure why. Like,
that is of slightly more concern. Not to like,
yeah, it's not a huge leak. It's like a drop kind of thing every time it's in there. So we'll definitely get it looked into.
That's fun.
Other than that, yeah, I'm gonna go to Colorado here soon, because there's only so many. Once your kids start to play high school sports, there's only so many like open weeks during the summer of when you're not missing strength and conditioning and football installs and all that crap. And so like we have this narrow window to head to the mountain. So we're going to do that soon.
Different world you live in out there, bud.
Yeah. You had a 1-year-old birthday party and I'm like, will you get your butt in the car and drive? You have to drive today. It is your day.
Yeah.
I need you to learn this so you can do it on your own in 3 or 4 weeks. So I don't have to wake up at 5:45 anymore. 4 days a week.
That's brutal. Wait,
there's a time when you get to not wake up at 5:45.
I mean, yeah, that should at some point, Ross. She should age out of that. Oh God! All right, Jeff, do you want to go in order? Where do you want to start?
You can hit it however you want to hit it. Yeah, you made a nice little list there. That's fine with me.
I think
you were on the show.
It was July, August of last year.
Oh wow!
It was soon. It was more.
Yeah, I feel like it was less than a year.
We might have had another one in there, but like that was like the first like. Jeff was one of my, like, while you were still new to baby life, Jeff was one of my easiest calls to, like, all right, I know Jeff and I can talk for an hour.
I'm definitely. Oh, shit, we're live right now? Oh, that's awesome.
Is it?
Yeah, I just opened up our YouTube. Okay. And we're currently live.
Really?
Yeah, I did that on the back end and forgot.
That's funny. You guys are using this functionality better than I am then.
Two watching. I think both of those people are my own desktop here. The laptop or whatever.
How can you have two from one computer, Ross?
Fuck if I know. 9 months ago. Jeff was on, you were right here. No, you were here 4 months ago.
Yeah. Okay, so we have had him since. We have had him since.
Montero update. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Because you'd used it for the Go Fast at the Lemons Race, so
I
think we should start with the Jag, just because that's a celebratory.
Sure, sure. I had a 1986 Jaguar XJ6 with a Chevy 350 swap in it, and I was ready to sell it just because, you know, I wasn't really driving it that much, and the time was right. It's California smog legal, which is rare for something like that. So I put it on Cars and Bids, and it exceeded my wildest expectations.
Our chat
it was so much fun.
My wife text me from upstairs because her office is upstairs because I'm in the garage. She's like, who are you yelling at right now? I'm like, I'm yelling at the screen because I can't believe I was shocked when it hit 10 and then it kept going. My goal for that car was 6.
Yeah.
And it sold for 14.
And it sounds like that dude was like kind of local too.
He was the only person, him and his son were the only people who came and looked at the car in person, which makes me feel better because there was like two or three things I forgot to mention. Little things like, radio antenna doesn't work because I've never used it, you know. So they got to see how sometimes it fires right up. Sometimes it takes a couple times, but it'll fire, you know, little tips and tricks, just Jaguar stuff. I forgot that. So
you can't remember every single thing.
No. So it was good to see it. The passenger rear window, cause I had to replace the switch in that it goes, you can lower that window with the front switches, but I can easily reach the rear passenger switches. And that's how I get the window back up. So like it goes down on one switch, up on a different switch. So like little things like that. The kid, because the father was buying it for his son, and the son.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome!
Stoked. And he said, "Hey, every little problem is part of the story." I was like, "You are ready for Jaguar ownership."
Yeah, you are, buddy.
That is the right buyer. That's so great. That is not your like, you know, perfect slant nose buyer. That's like
right.
Oh, but
you know, that's why I could never put the car and bring a trailer. Plus, you know, the wait for bring a trailer would be months if they even accepted the car, which they probably would have accepted this one. But the wait at Cars and Bids, there's no wait. Doug's like, our delays are like waiting on owners to get us photos. Like
100%
your car.
Yeah,
because I have a friend who's a photographer, and he has a Lexus 80 series Lexus LX.
Okay.
And he's like, he sent me a note. He's like, dude, how was your experience with Cars and Bids? What's the wait like? I'm like, hold on, let me ask Doug. He's like, you know Doug? I'm like, yeah, I know Doug. So I sent Doug a note on Instagram, and he's like, there's no wait. It's literally like we are waiting on owners to send us stuff. I was like, all right, cool, I'll tell him. And so he was super stoked. He's gonna list it soon. It's a really nice it either has like 80,000 miles or 100,000 miles, like, which is like nothing on an 80 series, you know? Yeah. Shit. It's really nice. I think he put Shielman seats in it too.
Really?
Yeah. Which like adds $3,000 worth of value to the,
that's the dream.
I think he got the Shielmans, which bugs me. Cause like I reached out to Shielman once just being like, hey, you know, if you could recommend seats for the Montero, hoping that they would be like, oh, let's hook you up. They're like, yeah, we recommend these. They're $1,500 a piece. I'm like, cool, thanks.
Damn it. Okay.
But that's
100%. I know that feeling. Yeah.
That happened too with Light Force.
Really?
Yeah. So Light Force hit me up on Instagram. They were like, yeah, we'd love to chat about, because they saw like a comment was going back and forth. And
that was you and me.
Yeah, yeah.
They sent me lights.
They reached out. They're like, we would love to chat about lights. Like, what are you thinking? I'm like, oh, well, I would love to swap. There's these two driving lights I have in the front of the truck, but I'd actually rather replace them with like real driving lights, like Australia style fucking, like either the Genesis or whatever model Light Force they are. So they're like, well, those aren't in stock, but they'll be back in stock soon. As soon as they're in stock, I'll reach out. We can talk about shipping and all that. I'm like, fucking awesome. So then like a couple months go by, they do reach out. They're like, yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. We have them in stock and, you know, let us know what you want to do. And I'm like, and I just reached back because I was curious because we didn't talk about, I'm like, what's the price on them? They're like, oh, the price is X, Y, Z. And it was like full price, which I'm not, I'm fine to do that. Like, I don't just want free stuff. But the way the conversation started made me feel like this is a, hey, we're going to give you these, do a video or something, you know, and like that clearly wasn't the case. So I just said, oh, awesome, thank you. And I never followed up.
At least would be like the partner price. Like,
yeah, right. So whatever. It's not
cost
a big deal.
Plus, you know, something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just, I guess I'm not. That's what I those right now, because I don't need them for the truck.
Right.
It's on the list of things I want. I mean, there are other things I want ahead of that, but it's like, wait, I guess. It was funny when I got the note.
I love those lights, but I've also had great experience with like, you know, knockoffs on Amazon.
Yeah. You know? Like, yeah. So I like the lights. I'm not going to get, Yeah, it's fine. Whatever. They're really good lights. I know Wes Seiler runs them. He's a huge fan of them on his Ranger. And he likes that they show the actual data of the transmission, which is like one of the things Baja Designs doesn't do. You know, I was looking at other things too, but there's so many other things I got to do on the truck right now anyway that those are like,
you know, on the bottom of the list. That Australian company Steady, STEDI, they're starting to come over here a little bit.
Yeah.
Probably with
I have Hardcore on the truck, and I could always reach out to them for stuff because they've been pretty cool. And then the shop in Long Beach, GTFO, is one of their main distributors. Him. Yeah. So, I mean, if I needed it, I could do it. But I mean, the truck has plenty of light as it sits now. So I'm not, again, there's so many other things I need to do. So,
okay. Speaking of 80 series, just going back to where started on auction sites, did you guys see? Can I share my screen on this thing?
I'm not sure. I tried to earlier and it got wonky. So I was like, I'll just leave it alone.
Open differences. Let's see if this actually works or not.
Well, you have to let your Mac say yes.
I don't know if my computer is capable. I don't think my computer is going to be too happy.
You haven't given Riverside the permission for your Mac yet, as I feel like the issue.
No, it should just be Chrome, though,
is that or whatever browser computer is older than half of Chris's kids. Anyways, I'm going to send the link
to
Chris.
That's not true.
You can do a link, yeah. In the chat.
In the chat.
Well, you said more than half. Exactly half of my kids are older than your computer.
So you can, with Riverside, you can chat.
There's a chat down here.
If my fucking computer will load. Okay. In the world of ludicrous 80 series things, on Bring a Trailer, yesterday,
an auction closed. Holy crap!
100 mile 97 80 series, and it is as immaculate gets, but I thought I misread it the first couple times I looked at it. I thought it said $65,000, which would have been crazy in of itself, but this thing sold for $165,000.
You know what? I've never seen an 80 with that low of miles, so I'm actually not surprised. I mean, the price is insane, but it doesn't shock me. 160.
That's like enormous.
You're seeing examples with like 200,000 miles go for a lot of money, which is
crazy. But like those seats don't look like stock 80 seats to me. Like those have been look recovered. And maybe that's part of it too, but like
a 45-pound 85-year-old lady sat in them for 4,500 miles. Yeah, you know?
I've never seen one with that low mileage. That's crazy.
Like this is a time capsule as time capsule gets for an 80. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
But for your buddy who's getting rid of the 450, like that's good news for him, you know, rising tides and all that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is very nicely upgraded.
Well, and like that's like legit mods on an 80, especially if they're the known mods, can absolutely add value to an 80.
Right.
Yeah. Where ARB, I'm brain farting. Who else are like
Dobinson?
Yeah.
Oh, Dobinson's crazy for the suspension stuff.
Yeah,
sure.
They're good.
Oh,
yeah,
his seats look so good. I'm going to put the link to it in the chat so you guys can see it.
So the Jack,
you know, AJ, right?
Yeah, we've been trying to get him on for years.
Photo
runner?
Yeah.
Yeah. We had him scheduled once, and then it was like a two ships in the dark kind of thing. Like,
That stinks.
Well, that's like, that's half our guests. Like,
yeah. I mean,
sure, it took us 2 years to get Nina after, you know.
But like I had to meet her on a trail in Moab to get that to work.
All right. So the Jag has left the building.
Yes.
And is there an imminent replacement or is this?
No.
Is Montero money?
Yeah.
Or mountain bike money.
Look at those seats.
Oh, yeah. They're like two-tone too. Like they're fantastic.
It's like I told him I'm going to walk over and steal them actually because they fit so good in the Montero too. But No, there's no replacements coming. I want to buy an e-mountain bike at some point, and the prices on those are, you know, what a car costs anyway.
Exactly.
What I've been dreaming of car-wise, though, is I really want a first-gen Mustang, and prices on those are just extremely broken right now, like for just the worst examples, like talking not even fastbacks, just coupes with straight sixes, shitty interiors, shitty exteriors, and people want like $15,000 for what a few years ago was a $2,500 car. So
yeah, and so then you gotta dump, you know, another 5 to 10 into it to make it what you want. Like that's
yeah, because it would be a 302.
At that point, so you're in it.
First gen is like 65 to early 70s.
64 and a half. Yeah.
70. I don't know. I don't know when they consider it a second gen, but I really want, I don't want to go older than 70. So, you know, 66 to 70. The dream would be to find like a really rough fastback and just make it look like rugged and kind of mean.
Yeah.
Didn't Jason Connor have one?
He has a, like an Eleanor clone with like still some crazy. Yeah. I mean, I haven't spoken to him in a while just cause you know, life and busy and, but the one I really like is Bowman's. I love Bowman's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I sent him the yellow headlights that I had for in my Jag when I took those out to him to use in his, in the Mustang. Mm-hmm. Just the idea of like, just like a, it's a clearly a driver, but there's like an angriness to it that's proper. Just like, just get a simple 302 that you could juice up. You know, manual gearbox, black, mean. Something John Wickian about it too, in a way. But Bowman's is the inspiration for wanting one.
In that same stylistic vein, I've been kind of looking at like 05 to 08 S197s because you can get one with like good mechanicals and just like a ratty body, you know, and maybe like torn seats. With like a blower and you know some good stuff on it for like 12, you know.
Yeah.
And like I can't. I'm 2 years out from being able to do that, but
right.
That seems like it's not a ton of car the way like a C5 Z06 would have been for 5 years ago.
Right.
But it's the kind of thing where you can just beat the shit out of it and not care, you know, and just like make good sounds and go sideways and like that's it, you know.
Yep,
it's not a not a dick measuring contest like so much like other stuff is for 10 to 15 grand. It's just like you're out there to have a good time.
Yeah,
completely subjective, but you can get a black plate too, so it can be a black car, black plate.
I can, yeah, and the trend I've been seeing out here is people have been painting their normal plates black with white font, and I don't know why, but people have
that sounds illegal
doing that. Yeah,
that sounds like Iowa. Like that's legitimately a plate that they have in Iowa. I think so. Yeah, I'm almost positive of it.
That right there, perfectly rough. You know, like that's make it little chrome slowly over time.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's very bullet without being bullet.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing try hard about it. I love it. Whereas, like on the flip side, there's another aesthetic that I actually also really like. I think Jalopnik just posted this car. Let me see if I can find it. Or it's from, what the hell is it? Like Vin, not VinFast.
Sorry.
It's like Vin something, not Vin Wiki either.
Did you drive the VinFast?
No, I haven't. But apparently, you know, they're all crap.
Apparently don't.
Yeah, no, it's supposed to be not great.
Not only they're not great, but like, the safety systems that they say are there are not there, right? Like,
I mean, it's just supposed to be, there's like supposed to be just be nothing. There's just supposed to be piles of trash, but I would never count any automaker out anymore though, either. Cause like they have so much money that they can just refine. Mm-hmm. And like, remember Hyundai Kia, it took them a while, but now they're making some of the best cars out there. So, I mean, maybe Vietnam car culture will come around too. Who knows? But yeah, right now, no.
That was, so the day I drove the Raptor R, I also drove like a Honda Trail Sport or a Honda Pilot Trail Sport. What was the other SUV? Pathfinder Rock Creek but I drove a Telluride X Pro.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is like, I don't think they do. Like, they put like Continental all terrains on it. Like,
right.
It is a half inch of lift and it gets a 5,000 pound towing capacity.
I don't even think it's a full half inch, but it was great. Every half
inch matters.
Like, if I'm looking at like an Outback, but I need more space, like the Outback Wilderness, like I'm buying that Telluride. Like, it rode so nice. It had the nicest interior, and price wise, like I think it was the cheapest of them.
Really?
It was pretty close.
Everything.
No, I did this. Now, so. I wrote a whole thing, but you know.
You wrote as many words as I usually write for our website.
Yeah. But I can't even remember what I wrote on it.
And I cannot find it.
So it was mid 50s, which is like cheap nowadays. Like,
yeah.
The Compass Trailhawk I drove was 46. So
that's fucking dumb.
The Compass. So my favorite part of that trip is they were like, they had a blue and a green off-road course. And so like Raptor R was limited to the green based on width. They had a 2500 Rebel, which was again, length and width. It was limited to the green course, but the Compass, they were like, no, take it on the blue course, Jeep trail rated. And I did, it did everything else did, just not as composed.
Right. That makes sense.
Dude, just to reiterate, $46,000 for a Compass.
Yeah. And you can get a Pilot Trail Sport for 48.
I've seen a couple of those in that like washed out blue color that was the press car color.
Yeah.
It doesn't look bad. It doesn't look nearly as aggressive in person as it does in all their, you know,
it is called Sonic Gray.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Sonic Gray.
Blue is called Sonic Gray.
Yes. You can have blue and or you can have gray and have hints of blue and different colors underneath it and still be gray.
That color is not gray even a little bit.
I say that because my house is a true gray, where my neighbor's house has flex of like hues of like purple, and the other one down the street has blue in it. And when the sun shines on them in the golden hour, I make fun of my neighbors because my house still looks gray where theirs looks blue and purple.
Wow. That is, you've reached a level of home ownership that I don't know if I'll ever.
Yeah. So my favorite is the guy who did the White House black trim, black garage door theme that you see everywhere.
Modern, and
you
can see, farmhouse.
Yes, you can horrible. See every dent on their garage at sunset now. Like, and they don't even have kids. Like, it's just like, you guys suck.
I despise that look. Oh my God. That's the official look of, we have new money and we want you to know it.
Yeah, I think they're dinks, which is definitely why I make fun of them. So,
all right. Anyways, Jeff, what else do you need to tell us? So you're doing a whole bunch of other shit that we should touch on.
I want to talk about Canyon AT4X because I haven't been anywhere near or around it, and I wanted to, and they just didn't happen. I had Colorado Trail Boss, but not that, which is not even as close. Chris,
one of my best friends, the guy who eventually bought my Avalanche.
Yeah.
He just took delivery on Thursday of a Canyon AT4.
AT4.
Yep.
But not the X.
He has no need for the X. He commutes in it and he'll tow his Corvette, you know.
It's funny because I get the Trail Boss tomorrow, the Colorado.
Nice. All right. So tell us about your
AT4X was great. You know, anytime a vehicle has lockers, I'm all for it. They make a version with a factory winch, which is super cool. Like, they're just getting deeper into it. It's comfortable inside. It looks better in person than I thought. Like, when the Colorado redesign first came out, I was like, ugh. And then you see it in person, you're like, oh, that actually looks pretty good. Yep. So I was impressed. I think it drove really well over the stuff we put it on the trails. It's hard to argue with a comfortable mid-size capable truck. It's obviously more expensive than the Colorado. But the thing they're doing with the Canyon is that all of them are the wide stance, whereas like the Colorado, like the first one or two trims aren't, or something like that.
You got to go to, I think, Z71 or Trail Boss to go wide stance on the Chevy.
Yeah,
I don't think Z71 is wide.
Impressive.
No.
The one that they had for us to test was on highway tires and was not on the off-road trail.
So you need Trail Boss and then ZR2?
ZR, Trail Boss. I don't think it was a ZR2 Trail Boss. I think it was just Trail Boss.
Right. No, Trail Boss to get that. Right. And then ZR2 pushes it further. And then Bison now, which is fucking sick.
35s, factory 35s on crazy. A mid-size truck.
35s on mid-size is insane.
How did the engine feel?
It felt fine. It good torque. I didn't notice any real turbo lag or anything like that. I don't think it needs, because I think it had a 10 speed. I don't think it needs a 10 speed. I think an 8 speed would work well there.
I think it's an 8 speed.
I thought it was a 10 speed for some reason.
We are checking.
Maybe it's an 8, and maybe that's why I didn't hate it. Super comfortable. Looked good. Looked better covered in dirt.
Yes.
It's easy to hate on someone for getting the GMC version of when they can spend less on a Chevy, but this was a nice truck. So, I kind of get it.
It's the Turbo 4?
Yeah, 2.7.
2.7. So, I was to say, which...
a good one.
That's my favorite part is like the Trail Boss is only the mid.
Yeah.
It's not the high output.
But I think you can spend money to upgrade it.
Oh, okay.
You get a factory, like a dealer installed too.
Yeah.
Okay. Which
it's also, go ahead.
It was torquey. Like it was, it pulled across the rock garden just fine. Like I just idled. I let the turbo do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're going to buy one though, you couldn't leave the dealership without being like, no, give it the more power. Come on.
It's also so interesting because that engine in the full size in the 1500s was kind of like not a dud, but nobody ever really like said good things about it, And now in the midsize truck, like, I don't know what the weight difference is, but it's gotta be 1,000 pounds.
Substantial.
Or so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, it's, it works well. I liked it. I was pleasantly surprised with the truck.
Sweet.
So my computer tells me that the Canyon AT4X is 4,970 and oh no, the weight difference isn't that big. Either way.
Wait. You were doing weight there?
Yes.
Or price? 4,970.
4,970. Okay. That's 4,970 pounds.
Got it.
That at the same time, even though as cool as the GMC Canyon is, I if I'm spending this much on a truck, I'm looking at the Ranger Raptor, the TRD Pro, or the Bison, because that's crazy.
Yep.
So I drove Silverado ZR2 AEB Bison, and I was just like, this is not for me.
Overkill.
I don't understand the hood bulge because they have these two
totally,
and then you lift the hood and then there's nothing coming from the engine that's forcing the hood up. Yeah. So you're limiting visibility. And I'm tall. Like I'm a taller guy. I can see out the front of a truck, but I was just like, I hate this thing.
You can't even blame it on like pedestrian crash test stuff where there has to be a certain amount of vertical space because the point where the hood latches on the top of the grill to the base of the grill is probably enough,
Yeah.
So any extra height is aesthetic and nothing else.
Yeah. So
I don't know.
It was for $82,000.
Yeah. I would just rather have a, V6 Raptor.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Much rather.
I like driving things that keep making Raptors feel reasonably sized.
Yeah.
I don't know. That Rebel 2500 with the Cummins was also pretty sweet.
Yes, but it feels entirely like a truck.
The guy at the other end of the street who goes off-road and he has a Power Wagon, and when it goes by, it's always like, that looks pretty cool.
Power Wagons are pretty rad. They are. I mean, you can throw 37s on it with no lift. I mean,
Yeah, well, because the dude we were talking about is going to sell his 80 series. AJ, his other truck is an AEV Prospector. So
right,
which God, talk about one truck for life, you know.
Yeah.
Like, that's up there.
Until you're in the woods by you.
Until you're in the woods by me, and then, you know.
Yeah, no, you have to be clear in trails.
I was going
to
say, you're not going through the trees. You're taking them out.
Yeah.
But
I wonder if I still have that video of the TRX in the woods.
You're like creeping along.
Exactly, with the Jamboree guy, like, pulling. God, when was that? That had to be.
So speaking of enormous and needlessly so, Jeff, you drove the Hummer. Was that the truck or the SUV?
Yeah, I've driven it a couple times. The truck. Yeah, it was for episode of the show that'll be out. And it's the Hummer EV is so stupid and so fun. I get it. It's hilarious. It's really good fun, but it's also just one of the most insane vehicles I've ever driven. It doesn't make sense how fast it is. Is this from like a driving event?
Yeah.
This is Mama Rally.
Oh boy.
This is actually at Road America in the woods around Road America. And
pulling the trees back.
Jeez. Giant shout out to the Jeep Jamboree guys that set this part up. They are professionals. They are great. They are fantastic. I love them. That truck does not belong in this part of the woods.
No, I mean, it seems like who's driving?
I have no clue, but they were not.
Yeah.
Great at it. Like,
I mean, you have enough room to 3-point turn this so you don't have to take out the little tree.
It looks like they probably could have just hugged the outside. And
you could also have just fucking sent it and kicked the rear end around.
Turning radius of the TRX is 48 and a half feet.
Yeah,
that's a lot. Oh,
yeah. Speaking of turn radius, that was one of the coolest things about driving the Hummer was putting it in, you know, in like not crab walk, but
which is four wheel steer. Yeah, the turning radius is nothing.
Oh, that was actually really enjoyable to play with.
It's a fun. I mean, out here on California freeways, I'm bombing down the freeways, passing people, but then every now and then I have that minute where I think about like the amount of kinetic energy I'm carrying along. I'm like, if I get in an accident, whoever I hit is obliterated.
Oh yeah.
That's it low getting ready to do a Watts to Freedom pull on a dry lake bed.
Which I did that 3 times when I had it for a week, and I think I was more surprised each time I did it. You know, usually you do like a launch and then the next one's less surprising or less exciting. I think every time I did it, I got more surprised. Like, holy shit, this thing was fucking 9,000 pounds.
Yeah. And as quick as you think, you know, when you get into the Raptor R, you'd be like, oh, this is quick. The Hummer EV fucking waxes it. Just so you know.
There's still 4 on the lot by me.
Oh, geez.
White ones, first editions. But
It was nice to see the black one. It was nice to see a non-white one.
Chris, so the ones on the lot by you, we've talked about those at length. I don't think those are unsold. I think those aren't able to be sold because of battery-related things that are happening.
And they won't let anyone drive them?
Well, that I can't attest to. But if there's a concern where there's going to be some huge problem, they're probably not going to be.
No, okay. Because I've asked 3 times and I've been told no all 3 times. So.
I will look this up and get back to you. But my understanding is that there is Ultium platform related technical problems causing
God, it's big.
Unable to sell the Hummers.
I do think it looks bigger when it's near like reasonably sized car too.
Or houses.
Yeah, like I parked the Suburban next to it. Next to one of them, and I was like, well, it's not that big. Like,
I'm gonna send you a picture of it next to my lifted Lexus. Like,
they're massive,
comical.
They are big, but
I'm a big fan. But I also really like that electric Transit I just had. That thing was sweet. You know, the range is low because it's a fleet play at the moment,
right?
But it was comfortable, it whipped. If I don't know why they wouldn't just double the battery and sell a consumer version. I really enjoyed driving it. I was like dashing on the highway, changing lanes. Cause it has really good mirrors. Cause it has those lower like fisheye mirrors.
I love them.
You got great visibility. It has wireless CarPlay and Android Auto because it has info, or it has Sync 4, you know, whatever inside of it. It's just ready to be loaded up with some cool stuff. But then the existing range, you know, because this thing gets like 118 on a charge.
So, oh, man.
Yeah.
God, it's like friggin' early Nissan Leaf.
But the idea is that, like, you're the local plumber just running around town. But that's also, well, it's empty. So I don't know how much of a range hit it would take when you filled it up. But it only has a 64 or 68 kilowatt hour battery. So I don't know why they couldn't just, like, double that.
Yeah. And,
you know?
I saw my first Rivian Amazon van the other day.
I had one down my street, too.
Yeah. It's not as weird looking as it could be.
No, they look kind of cool. When I was in it, two of them passed me, and I wanted to, like, race them. But
boop, boop. Be like, yeah. Let's go, guys. Yeah. Boop, boop, boop.
Come on. Because they test them around me, because Rivian has an office around the corner, so I actually see them all the time.
I feel like if there was, like, a modern electrified, like, U-joint off-road van, that would be, like, as up your alley as it could be.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I never really knew about U-joint until the last Lemons race, because I mentioned in the pits, someone had like a Quigley or something like that. Mm-hmm. And Tim, co-founder of Hooniverse, was like, oh, you don't want Quigley. You got to check out U-joint. I'm like, what? And then I went down the rabbit hole. I was like, oh, my God.
Dude,
like,
there's stuff
like this and stuff. Oh.
The RVs?
Show?
Yes, we've had them on the show. I just... That was like first year on the show.
Yeah, that was really
awesome. I didn't know about them. I've since been educated. Yeah, off-road RVs and shit. Wild.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What they must be doing to suspension components.
Well, and he says all of those are for like Long Island. Like they're going out on the beach in Long Island, or they're going to the Middle East.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, I love that band though.
Dude,
the trail.
Yeah. The best part of the transit with the Android Auto or whatever is in the Apple CarPlay is when I was still at the Adventure Van Company on those long trips, I could run Android Auto for navigation, and then my passenger could run Apple CarPlay to run his audio. So that way, like, we didn't have any, like, I could still see where we were going on these twisty mountain roads, and then he could play whatever he wanted to listen to because I was just paying attention. Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
I have never heard of that. That's crazy.
Well, it's because you don't have anybody who has an Android around you. So I'm like a unicorn, Russ.
Yeah, that's like when I would do when I drove an electric Porsche to the Bay Area and back. I would run their nav. I would have the destination input in their nav system, so it would be keeping track of mileage and like charging station distances.
Yeah.
But then through CarPlay, I'd be running Waze for, you know, cop and traffic alerts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Hazard in road.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what that means?
Usually it's like a shoe or like a cardboard box.
It's always something. How was did you take the Montero for Lemons again?
Yes. And it was a long drive.
Was it?
Yeah, because it was at Sonoma? Thunder Hill.
No.
Sonoma would have been easier than Thunder Hill. Thunder Hill is north of Sacramento. So it's like, it's 440 miles each way or something like that, which is a lot in a Montero. It's a lot in any car. But so from my house, it's supposed to be like 8 hours or something like that. So I was driving 20 minutes into my drive. One of the bolts in my, that connects the caliper to the hub, backed out on the freeway.
So, what?
Yeah. So I lost a brake bolt. So it set me back 3 hours while I found a random shop in Long Beach to fix it. I still had to drive from there. Once it was fixed, I still had to drive to Torrance to go. That's a pic of it right there. You can see the bolt backed out. That bolt let go on the freeway.
Oh my God.
So
that is in the middle of fucking nowhere. Oh my God.
I had to drive to Alpine Stars to pick up a suit, and then I had to drive to Johnny Lieberman's on the other side of LA to get a new next gen safety device. And then so I originally left my house at like 10:30 in the morning. I didn't leave Johnny's house until like 5:15.
Oh, God.
And then I had to drive. And then from there, Wade said 6 hours and 40 minutes.
Oh.
So I was, like, delirious by the time I pulled in. Thankfully, when you pull into racetracks, there's, like, always somebody at the gate, no matter what time of day.
Right.
So I just told Tim and the rest of the team, like, just leave me a beer. And, yeah, in the last shot, you can see.
The that. One.
Yeah. I had my bike because I used that, like, to as a pit bike. But I slept in the go fast at the track, all that shit. It was good to go.
And how'd your solar setup work?
It works great because I'm just charging a that runs into the Dometic PLB 40, which is plugged into my Dometic cooler, my fridge. So, you know, during the day, the PLB 40 gets full of juice, and at night the PLB 40 keeps the cooler going, and I can run, you know, the whole time like that. Yeah. Solar tops it off, runs all night. It never gets low. And it, like on the drive home, I even, cause I didn't do it in one shot on the drive home. On the drive home, I drove to Fremont where Tim lives, spent the night at his house, woke up the next morning and drove. And I still had, so I'm not running solar anymore. And I still had like 40% of the battery when I pulled into my house.
So you guys had two cars this time.
Yeah. It was the first ever race. We had two cars. We still have the Ranchero, which is now finally a V8. fucking totally changed the car. It was amazing.
What transmission is it now?
It's a it's a 4-speed top loader.
Oh, so not no more three on the tree.
It hasn't been, it hasn't been three on the tree in like years. Thankfully. But there was a point with the straight sixes where we went through five of them in five races.
Yeah.
We didn't want to do that anymore. So now the weak point was brakes. But Tim found that he's already working on it. And those brakes in that picture you just pulled up from the MGB, we went through three sets of pads
in the what? Race.
Yeah, something was set up wrong. So they're Wilwoods, but apparently Wilwoods, as much marketing as Wilwood does, the brakes were actual garbage. That's a piston. That's a brake piston fused to the pad that we had to pry off and put back in to the caliper.
Oh, well, that's
because we pushed so hard, we pushed through the pads.
Oh my gosh.
But the MGB was great because it has a 1962 Buick, like 215 V8 or something like that.
Wow.
It's like a Rover size V8. The seat is really tight, but it's like one of those things. Once you're out on the racetrack, you kind of like, you relax a little bit. Car was a blast. The braking issue really sucked though, but like it was our most successful weekend, like for zero engine issues in the Ranchero, which was amazing. We just had to fix a few brake, like a rear brake line got like pinched somehow. And that caused some issues, but we went quick in the Ranchero. We were passing people. It was awesome.
Nice.
Now we have to re-gear it. We would be getting into, before even hitting the start finish line on the front straight, we'd be sitting there in fourth gear at like 5,200 RPM, just being like, nah, we need taller gears.
Fifth is 1-to-1. So you're just like,
It's just a four speed. It's just a four speed. Yeah. So,
okay.
But we just need a taller rear end because there's enough torque where, you know, it'll pull through all of them. And if they're taller too, you could probably just sit and fight in the second and third for a lot of the track, which would be awesome. And then the MGB is a 5-speed and it was great out there. It was such a point and shoot fun car. But at the end of the race, Ted, who's Tim's dad, who was his car, he said, hey, I heard we might be up for an award if this car makes it to the finish line. So I jumped in the car with an hour and a half to go, and 45 minutes into it, I heard like a weird bang. And I was like, fuck, I assumed it was the brakes, and the brakes were going. But it started making a noise on the right front every time I was turning left. So I was like, what the fuck is that? I thought something in the brakes let go. I'm like, so I just backed my pace way off. I'm like, so for 45 minutes in this uncomfortable ass seat, I just got to limp this fucking car. So we did, I made it there. But what we come to find out is like a lower bolt on part of the control arm sheared off. And I was dragging part of the lower control arm on the track.
Oh my gosh. You can see that.
we still don't know how it did just either catch and like rip that whole part of the car apart or just flip the car. So that's why I'm thinking like only part of it let go. So it must have been just hanging and still had enough tension not to just fully drop. Because it, when you would load it up on that side, it wasn't great. But
just the right amount of force on just the right place.
So
that could have been fun.
We won organizer's choice with the car.
Love your comments. Like, that's an interesting failure. Thanks, Brad.
Even Caswell was like, dude, what the fuck?
Dude.
If you get that from him, it's like,
you know you're in a questionable place.
But the car was awesome. We had to bolt a shovel to the side of the Ranchero because it triggered the noise, which it's so insane that Thunderhill even has a noise restriction because it's in the middle of nowhere. But apparently it's 103 and we were triggering 104. So we're like, fuck. So we were going to put the, they make these like inserts you can stick into the exhaust pipe, but we were talking like five other teams got pings and they're like, yeah, we tried those and they still didn't work. So we bought them from the shop and then we added beer can material to them. Cause they're like just aluminum inserts. And then we're like, we didn't want to take any chances. And we knew it was on that side of the, we knew it's on that side of the track where the microphone picks up. So we bolted the shovel and it worked fine. we might keep it on the car, even though it's like Tim's like poop camp shovel or like his overland shovel.
That's even more reason to keep it on there.
Yeah. So we're like, we might just keep it on the car just cause it was hilarious. And they used like, what do you call them? You use a little tool where you like riv nuts. There's riv nuts and then bolts. So it's not going anywhere.
Oh my gosh. That's
so funny.
Yeah.
It looks so great.
It looked awesome. And the car ran great. So he's just going to fix the brake issue. He already knows what the deal is. It felt awesome out there. If we get a taller rear end too, it'll be just so awesome.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I can't wait because the next race is in the fall and it's Button Willow and it's like 2 hours north of LA. So it's so much easier.
So much closer.
And at Button Willow, we always get a garage. We pay to rent the garage because it's, if you don't, you've made a huge mistake. It's so much better to have garage space. But at Thunderhill, that's not an option.
Yeah, you're talking about your drive. I was like, my trip for those, that off-road stuff was like 9 hours one way.
Jesus Christ.
I did it in the suburban. Like I didn't do it in
Montero with.
Yeah. From the early 90s.
Yeah. With a fucking, you know, even though it's a super light, it's still 85 pounds on the roof and I have it loaded with food and beverage and you know, all my gear. And it's not, I need to engine swap that thing.
What are common engine swaps on those?
Just later Mitsubishi engines. The diesel is supposed to be a pretty good swap, honestly. But like the 3.5 liter from the next gens is just because it's familiar territory for the people like who do it. There is a dude who's doing, I think in a Gen 2, he's doing like a Chevy.
Okay.
I still want to do that Cummins though. That Cummins R28 is like a match.
Yeah, the 2.8, yeah.
I just don't want to spend that much.
Yeah.
I'll just find a 4BT and juice it.
Yeah, yeah. But the R28 is like,
it's super like, light.
It matches the soul of the vehicle, too.
Yeah.
You know, because
it's
a 2.8 from a 3 liter. The size is right. The power is right.
Yep. You know, it'd be great. Awesome. Oh my God. If you found one of the Turbo 4 Duramaxes that they had in the Colorado and Canyon.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd be great.
I thought you were gonna say like the Turbo 4 from a Ranger. You know, like not diesel but gas, but a Turbo Ranger engine is cool too.
Yeah.
And that's like what 2.3 liters or something like that. Yeah. I think the Ranger engine or 3 liters. No, three was the V6.
Yeah,
Ross, you talking about like the Torque Max?
What?
Wasn't that the diesel?
Colorado and Canyon.
I don't know.
That was a Duramax.
I know which one you're talking about. Though the another good one would be that 3 liter turbo diesel, but that would be a monster.
God, I don't think that would fit.
Right.
That is
it's only 3 liters, but I guess it's probably a lot of equipment.
There's a Vortec Max.
The front of that. Oh, the Vortec Max, that was a 6 liter.
Okay, so not that.
Now, no, that was a 6-liter V8 in like the 2004 to 2007 Silverado. No, not that.
Because you could even get the, you could, for a while, you could get the ZR2 as a diesel as well.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yep.
That's not a bad idea. Find one of those, wrecked, like a wrecked Colorado diesel. That'd be way cheaper than an R28.
Oh, yeah. Seriously.
Even if you brought it as like a crate motor, it's probably half the, it's probably a third of the price.
How much is an R28?
It's $9,000.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Copart. With no gearbox.
See, this is where you leverage like a carparts.com or something partnership.
I've thought about it. I've thought about trying to do that to see if they would be interested, but it's too old. That's how I was going to try to get my Mustang. Because they asked me to come with them to the Gambler this year. And I'm like, I'd love to.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But that's, I can't. But it's not a bad idea to – I just – it opens a can of worms on the Montero, because the R28, they said they were going to 50-state legal it, and they never did.
Oh, okay.
Which is annoying. Because when I heard that – when they announced it at SEMA that year, they said it's going to be 50-state legal. I was like, this is going to be fucking amazing. And I'm just that guy. I don't want to register. I don't want to do the Montana bullshit.
No, no. What about just like – I mean – a 3800 with a supercharger.
Yeah, even that is still it's to do it correctly and have it still be, you know, but there I say I don't want to be the guy who does Montana plates, because I pay my taxes, I want them to go to fixing my, you know, shit like that. Yeah. I am open to the idea of doing it, registering it, and then just paying someone to smog it. So it's funny, I'm like, I don't want to break the law here, but over here, you know what, I don't give a shit.
Right,
because their truck would burn cleaner anyway, so, you know.
Right.
Oh my God.
Even though it passes smog as is. So
dude, so on the Cummins website it says the shipping weight of an R28 is 752 pounds, and that's not even dressed, that's just bare. Oh my God,
that's the R28.
Yeah, that's some nose weight.
I wonder what my 3-liter V6 weighs.
What is the?
It can't be that much.
What's the? Is there a code for it?
Yeah, it's like 6G72 or something like that.
So while you guys are looking that up, I'm gonna say hi to Joel, because he just sent me a message and he goes, "I'm loving the live stream tonight." So,
hi Joel.
No, Strickland.
Oh, Strickland, because he's awake. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's right, like right. Midday for him.
Right, that's funny.
6G72 is, according to Wikipedia, 342 pounds.
Oh boy, that's not great,
dude. That's not good.
You're doubling your weight.
That's not good. Damn it!
So you get to call. You get to call King back. Guys.
Yeah, right. I don't think
you're why foxes, so I'd have to be like, hey, I need you to double this. Okay, that's not great. Because it's funny, because like on the Mercedes, on the wagon, you know, the straight 5 turbo diesel we took out of that, when we were going to do a Hemi, the Hemi weighed half as much.
But that's decades newer technology.
And, yeah, but still, it was just an inline 5 versus a huge V8.
Yeah, but again, like aluminum versus what was the 5 iron?
It was like Nazi iron, probably. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Nazi iron. Not over
anti-Semitic bullshit under the hood of that, so that there car. You
go. It's got the weight of their wrongdoing.
Ugh. I was blown away. Like when we took the engine out of the Benz, and it still kind of sits like this, it looks like a gasser because it has like the Carolina squat because the nose is in the air.
Oh God, talk about worst fucking trends ever. Jesus.
Oh my gosh.
That's what the Raptor is going to look like with the quad in the back of it.
The squat.
Yeah, the Fox Live Valves are going to be very confused.
That's okay.
Be just fine.
You want to hear a funny story? So, on our
feeling you're going to tell us.
On our last off-road trip, we went down a trail that turned out to not really be a trail. So we turned around, and my dad was I got off the quad, and I'm watching my dad comes toward me in his Polaris Razor, and I'm looking under it and I'm like, oh, there's something dragging. So I wave him down, and he had driven over like a 4-inch diameter stick that went straight through the left rear CV boot, like literally like punctured it and stabbed the boot so good that the axle kept going and the boot stayed in place and it pulled off the press ring. And this kind of coincided with some other issues that that he found. He lost four-wheel drive, his headlight weren't working, and he had like some intermittent codes flashing on the screen. So, you know, they live 45 minutes away. So I spent probably 10 hours trying to work on this thing. And my brother probably spent 15 hours. My dad probably spent another 10 hours. And none of us, we got to the point where we're like, fuck it, we're done. We've, you know, like we all have lives. We're just going to give it to a player, dealer, and see if they can figure it out. So he drops at the first dealer. First dealer says the body harness had shorted and they needed to replace the body harness, which is like $1,500 part plus, you know, the labor of ripping the whole thing apart. So after not touching the thing for 3 weeks and given like a real diagnosis, my dad says, fuck this, I'm taking it, takes it to another dealer. The other dealer spends like an hour and finds four broken wires and that the plug to the front diff had backed itself out. Yeah. And that was all that was wrong with the thing.
What?
That was it. It's like $500
out the door. That's a better fix.
Yeah.
Yeah. Way better.
good news. So needless to say, hopefully none of that shit happens on our upcoming trip and hopefully the Raptor returns in the condition that it leaves here with.
Yeah.
So Jeff, you had the Hummer doing Freedom launches, right?
Yeah.
Is that for your new announcement stuff?
Yeah, yeah. So we can talk about it because it's been announced.
say the actual announcement has gone out.
Motor Trend is reviving Head to Head, and they're doing it in a format called Head to Head Drag Race, and it's myself and Johnny Lieberman are the hosts, and we're pitting cars against each other. The first episode is actually out July 10th.
Nice. So
fantastic.
And I mean, obviously, go ahead, Chris.
I want to take a guess at one episode.
Okay.
It has to be Raptor R and T-Rex, right?
Well, it's Raptor R, T-Rex, and the Hummer, and the Rivian, and the Lightning.
Is it Johnny's Rivian?
No.
Motor Trend's not going to let him risk it.
This is my first time driving a Rivian. Motor Trend has a long-term Rivian.
Okay.
Right.
And a long-term Lightning. So we'll use both of those. But it was my first time driving a Rivian, and it was fun because they were like, hey, do you think you could like get a shot for us? We need a shot of drift mode. I was like, yeah, I think I can. And we went out, and it was awesome. Just hanging it out there, just and Rivian, that thing was great, man. That thing was a blast. The Raptor R is awesome. I still love the Raptor R. TRX is, you know, it's great for what it is. I would take a Raptor R over it. The Lightning, we just brought it to show you how much slower it is than everything else. and then the Hummer is, you know, it's kind of a game changer.
Hold on. Let's go back to this. But did you guys see the Silverado EV embargo?
I saw the news leaking out of like the reviews are out now.
Yeah, the embargo lifted today, and the high spec work truck is $80,000.
I did see that. Yes,
for work truck for the work truck.
Was it for a work truck.
Was it you who commented? Does WT stand for wealthy tradesman or something like that? somebody wrote that.
Oh man, that's good. 5 points to whoever wrote that. Though that's good.
That's a lot.
All right, so you got the truck madness episode. I think I can speculate you got the GR Corolla and CTR.
Actually, that was the episode we just shot last week. That'll be the third episode. Is, you know, Corolla, CTR, Hyundai Elantra N we included, Golf R we
included,
and then we just threw the WRX in just to show it. We had some fun with it. That episode was really fun. The first episode, which is what some of the marketing stuff shows, is Lucid versus the 911 Turbo S.
Ooh.
That's just.
Yeah, so it's a great way to kick it off because we rented So we rented it for a different one for this one, but we rented an airport in California City for the first episode, and we did Lucid versus 911 Turbo S, and then we break out. Then I break out the Ferrari SF90, and then
Johnny
breaks out the Lucid Sapphire.
Hmm. Oh, the Sapphire! Oh, wow!
Yeah, it did numbers that will blow your fucking mind away. Because we had enough room to run a half mile with that car.
Ooh. I mean, like realistically though, we're at the point where like quarter mile is impressive and it'll always be an impressive quoting number, but the half mile stuff is really becoming like,
I think the quarter mile is impressive just because of how quick you can get to some things. But the crazy part was that of those four cars, the 911 Turbo S is the slowest one. And by most people's, you know, if you hand them the keys to a 911 Turbo S, it would blow their mind with how quick it is.
Wait, the slowest in the to 60 or the quarter or both?
All of it. 911 Turbo S was the slowest car there. Lucid Air, because the Lucid was the Grand Touring Performance. So it's like 1,050 horsepower or something like
that. Oh my gosh.
Everything is sub 3 to 60.
Oh my God.
The Ferrari was crazy because it's a hybrid. So that was just a vicious machine. And then the Sapphire is just what it can do is mind bending. But the Trek episode was really fun because we were like jumping them, sliding them. You know, we had to drive. We were out. We rented a spot out in Johnson Valley, so we were out. Basically, Hammertown was empty. Yeah. It was us. And then the third episode, you know, we found this amazing windy road that I'd never heard of. In the middle of nowhere. And then we rented a small airport in Bakersfield for some on airport stuff. We've got a good episode where we're going to do BMW versus Kia EV6 GT. You know, and then there's more stuff. We have a lot more to we're supposed to do 12 episodes for season one. So,
oh, wow.
And we have them all pretty much mapped out. So we have some cool shit. But yeah, we're kicking it off with these, you know, the concept of the episode is that supercars are different now. And Johnny's talking about how, you know, the Lucid bend your brain. And I'm like, well, you know, it's still not, even though I like EVs, I'm still like, you know, would you have had a poster of a Lucid on your wall or of a Porsche or a Ferrari on your wall? You know, stuff like that.
It was a Testarossa.
Yeah.
And the joke at the end of the episode, not to spoil it, but like, at the end of the episode, you know, the kind of as the credits are rolling, the joke is like, Johnny's like, all right, you know, it's your first episode. I'll take the slowest car home. And I'm like, no, I want to take the Porsche home. He's like, no, don't worry about it. Like, the joke is like, all that just happened, both of us would prefer to drive the Porsche home.
Yeah,
exactly. It was like, was everything else out of range? Like, that's where my mind went. It's like,
they're all just, you know, all four cars are sitting there. And it's like, because the Porsche is that good.
Yeah.
You know, Porsche people like Porsches for a reason, and as you start to drive them and experience them, because before I was like, oh, all these journalists who were like, oh, Porsche this, Porsche that, and then you drive, you're like, this is the best fucking car on the planet.
Oh man, I went to New Canaan the morning of Father's Day to get coffee and walk around, and like they do one of the best cars and coffees, you know, in the whole Northeast, and this was just a normal Sunday, and there was like a Kermit green GT3 RS, you know, Miami blue speedster. And it's just like, there is just that aura, you know.
My friend just started he put on a show this past weekend, somewhere in your area. It might've been New Haven actually. He did a cars and coffee type event. His name is Mike Callahan. He's Upstate Mike on Instagram. And he also works for Wheel Pros actually, but he's going to start doing events in the area, and he got some really cool cars in this. So you should follow and try to find the events. Has like the only, what the hell is it called? It's like called like a Biagini Paseo or some shit like that. He's like probably the only one in the country. I don't even
know. Oh, I got it. Sorry.
What the actual fuck is that?
Yeah.
It looks like a Golf.
It looks like a Cabrio and like Golf.
Yeah, that's his. That's yeah.
It looks like a Golf and a first gen Trooper mated.
Yeah, I think it's probably the only one in the country. And that car lives in Connecticut. When we go back east and I stay at, we rent the house in Misquamicut. It's his beach house that we rent.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Dude, come through. Let's show up at this. This looks like a good time.
I went back to the Audrain while I was back there.
Newport is the best.
Yeah, but then I'd never been to the other museum just down the road, the Newport Car Museum. That museum was great. They had really cool stuff, and it's much bigger.
Yeah, that's kind of like flying under the radar.
Yeah, yeah, because the Audrain is like small but rotates and is really perfect for Newport, classy. I mean, it feels like you're. Yeah. It's I don't know. It's very.
It's in the same corridor as like the boat museum and like the swimming or the sailing museum or tennis hall of fame or
While I was back there staying in a beach house in Rhode Island, I can't recommend this documentary enough. It's about and I don't give a shit about sailing. Like I prefer power boats, and you know, but it was about the year that Australia beat us in the America's Cup. Mm-hmm. And the documentary is so good.
What's it called?
On Netflix. Shoot.
Come on, Joel. the YouTube stream's a little behind where we're at live, so Joel's gonna be typing comments in a little bit.
Untold, the Race of the Century.
Yeah,
and so Untold, I guess, is a series of sports docs, but the Race of the Century one, I can't recommend it enough. I was rooting for Australia, you know, because America. I didn't know this, but we'd won it for like 135 years in a row. Yeah. It was ours. And the yacht club that's in charge of it is like the New York Yacht Club based on Wall Street. So it's like the richest of rich fucks, you know, like 12 meter racing is rich people anyway. But like this plucky team of Australians came up with this crazy design that they transformed hull design. And this technically counts as off-road talk because this is off-road.
Correct. No. We've established that before.
This was like, and the guy who designed it didn't have a formal education. He was like almost autistic before you like classified people as autistic. And he built this design. When they pulled into Newport and they would raise their boats out of the water at the end of the day, they would cover the keel. That's what it was, not the hull, the keel. They would cover the keel so the other teams couldn't see what they were doing.
Oh, and it's like
before you even get to the race to race the Americans, you have to, they call it like the Challenger Series, where you race for like 3 months. Like you have to beat 50 other countries to even get a shot to beat America. Like it was such a big deal. And this team of Australians, they fucking did it. And they even got the prime minister like wishing them support. And when they go back to their country to like, they're like, there's going to be a parade from this town to this town, which is like 20 kilometers. They're like, who's going to be there? They said the streets were lined the entire way for Australia. Wow. Was so proud of them for doing it. And then the next year America had to go down there and get it back. And they did actually, which is also crazy. It's a really good documentary. You will be rooting for Australia.
That's perfect. I need something to watch desperately, but I didn't watch that one, but there's another Untold about the Danbury hockey team.
Oh, I've heard that one's amazing.
Yeah. That's like local. Like I grew up like that with that stuff happening to people I knew, you know?
Yeah. Cause I was talking to, Christian James Hand. He does the music.
Yeah.
On Twitch and all that. Cause I was watching one and he recommended it. And then I sent him a note. I'm like, dude, I watched it. It was fucking good. He's like, dude, you got to watch the whole Untold series. There's so many good ones. So
three seasons.
Oh, three seasons. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So I think I was texting, Mike, who has that Paseo car too. I'm like, dude, I'm in your house watching this right now. I've never felt more New England.
So I say three seasons. Season three comes back this August. So two seasons are out now. Season three is Jake Paul, the problem child, Johnny Football, Hall of Shame.
Head off and watch the Jake Paul one.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch that one.
And like Swamp Kings, which is about Florida Gators under Urban Meyer in 2005.
Oh, no, that's probably a really good one.
I might watch that one.
Because that might be the year when, what's his name was there? The dude who murdered
Hernandez?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Foreign Patriot.
I'm trying to send this guy.
No, watch the America's Cup one, though. I cannot. It was so good. So good.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to watch that one.
What do you think, Joe, mate? Was it a good one, mate?
Joel's comment was great episode. Yep, it's a series. Biggest comeback in sporting history.
Yeah.
And then he gives the Ben Lexon was the designer's name, and it was a winged keel.
Yep.
Supposedly, Toyota named a car after the America's Cup designer down.
Yeah,
in...
yeah, they did. They covered that in the documentary. He was in a car ad with Toyota.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yep. It's.
And then he died a few years later.
Oh crap!
Yeah. Didn't James May do one of those sailing things on Top Gear like way back?
And it looked like it was the most brutal... bunch of stuff. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
Oh yeah, he did the. They were in New Zealand.
Yes.
Clarkson raced in a rental car, and May was on like one of the like Oracle winged things.
Oh, one of the crazy ones.
That's what it was.
Yeah. And he just kept getting hit in the face with saltwater the entire time.
The other thing too, it's so this the prime minister in this documentary is like the most beloved, I guess, Australian prime minister because he was in Australia. No, he would drink beer at the soccer matches. This was his last interview before he died.
Oh shit.
Oh.
He was old though.
Okay.
Yeah. Bob Hawk, was that his name?
Did you guys watch the most recent Grand Tour that just came out?
I started
Euro
really boring.
Crash.
They are getting old.
Yeah. Well, I Clarkson. Thought that
Clarkson
two series ago.
Fat, yeah. Man. Clarkson. I never want to make fun of, I don't want to make fun of anybody's weight, but like
for a guy who's working on a farm for at least two series,
like,
you'd think.
And he it's like, just it's just that it's all belly, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The rest of him is normal, and then he got that type of fat where it's just all belly.
Yep.
And it just looks like a very uncomfortable weight, but they make fun of it. In the episode,
he doesn't look that bad in Clarkson's farm. Like, it doesn't look good or healthy, but like
British people age like shit, though, too. So, like, they all look old.
Yeah, but it's not.
I know what
it's
not is, man. Look. British people get old, and it's like they just fall apart.
But that Euro whatever is like unwatchable. I can't even finish it.
Because when I saw the cars, crash. I thought the cars were funny, and then it was just like. I was just really bored, and I still like some of the stuff they do, you know.
Yeah.
But I'll go back on YouTube and watch some of James May's some of his solo shows. I'm like, he's the best one,
dude. Oh, our man in Japan,
and Italy.
Yeah.
The one was perfect.
The one when he built he built some like radio controlled. No, well, not even radio controlled, but like a glider plane. And they wanted to throw it to an island off the coast, and they did it. You know, stuff like that. So cool. He makes the most inane shit.
Watchable. He's better than what they're putting out now.
Is it James May Builds? Was that the show?
Maybe, because he also has a show where he'll rebuild a lawnmower, and it's.
I think that's like dismantles
or grandfather clock or something.
It should be boring, and it's like. I'm hooked. I'll sit there for the full 45 minutes and watch this man fucking.
The reassembler is what that one is.
He did a telephone. He did a motorcycle.
Yeah.
He did an electric guitar in one.
Like, as much as I want to, you know, support all the stuff they're doing, like, it's just tired, you know?
Yeah.
There was nothing.
But on the flip side, you know what? You're right, though, on their own, because, like, the farm show is amazing.
It's the best thing that Clarkson has done in like 15 plus years.
And then the YouTube stuff on the Drive Tribe channel when it's Hammond at his shop, also entertaining. So like when they're separate now, it's when it's
maybe that's what it is.
We're definitely showing our age.
I mean, the OG Top Gear is what made me want to get into making car videos. So that's how it goes that far back.
I'll watch old clips from that on YouTube forever.
Did you guys ever watch
Travel Man?
The fuck is that?
So it's Richard Iowade British comedian. Yeah, he played Moss on the IT Crowd, but he does 48 hour trips with British and American celebrities. So he like took Paul Rudd to Sweden for like 48 hours. Like it's.
He's a funny dude.
Yeah, but he's very nerdy. He's very quirky. Yeah. Like,
he's awkward.
Yeah, I enjoy that stuff. I like watching people suffer in different countries that they don't want to be
tangent.
In.
I am watching this show Dave on Hulu, and it is the best. Oh my God. Like,
yeah,
it's just talk about some watching somebody suffer. That is like masochism at its finest, but it is so fucking good.
Trying to think what I powered through recently. There was one I watched all of and I can't remember what it was now.
Everybody needs to watch Ted Lasso to bring some joy into their life.
Yeah, I need to. I still have not watched season 3. I need to do that.
Sam, you were the one that told me to watch. And it was,
yeah, I got you to watch the earlier seasons, but yet I still haven't. Maybe, and part of it is probably because, like, I know I'm going to enjoy the shit out of it, so I'm just like holding it at arm's length.
Oh yeah, you don't want it to be over. Yeah, I maintain
the ending did a lot of callbacks. It was really well done.
Bill Lawrence knows how to end a show.
Yeah, the Ted Lasso Christmas episode is the best Christmas episode of television ever.
From season 2.
Yes, it is perfect, perfect television.
I like it. Yeah. I like Shrinking too, which is also Bill Lawrence. So.
Mm-hmm. I've heard things about that.
Harrison Ford at his finest. Old, angry, crotchety Harrison Ford. Like
crashing planes into beaches?
Nope. None of that. I said actor Harrison Ford, not pilot Harrison
Ford. Oh, man, I heard the newest the newest Indiana Jones is a great watch.
I hope so.
Oh, it's supposed to be fucking terrible.
It can't be worse than Crystal Skull, can it?
Like, Crystal Skull was the most disappointing movie I've ever watched in my life.
Yeah, it's way up there. Absolutely. It can't be worse than that.
I mean, Cabin Boy was pretty terrible.
I laughed at Cabin Boy.
Jeff, you and I, I know Jeff and I are similar age.
Yeah. Well, I was 3
that's an era
and a half
of like
when this
very
came
funny
out.
Comedies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that Chris Elliott?
Yeah, Chris Elliott.
Yes, it is.
Oh, God. He's lead one role. Of the scariest people in all of Hollywood.
Well, he's fantastic in Schitt's Creek, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that was a great show.
Masterpiece of television. Yeah.
I just watched the new Black Mirror, and in one of the episodes, Annie Murphy's in it, so that was kind of.
Ooh. She's in the first one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I started watching it last Friday and Sam came out of the, like, our gym is our office. And she came out of the gym and looked at the TV and was just like, what the fuck are you watching? I was like, it's Black Mirror. She's like, wow. No.
Hard so pass.
I still got to get onto the new season.
All right. Yeah. You guys ready to wrap it up?
I got to go eat dinner.
Damn. What's that like? 2 hours behind us. It's kind of 3 hours behind Ross. So.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
It just now got dark here.
Work. Going back to schoolwork after this, so a long night to go.
Have fun with that.
Yeah.
Right. I'll wrap it up for Joel.
I'm also going to Texas later this week, which will be fucking miserable.
Texas? Why are you going to Texas?
It's for a bachelor party, so the reason is good, but the temperature is broken.
I was like, they are awful.
Yeah, real bad.
I have coworkers down there, and they were like, mm-mm.
Yeah, it's in Austin. It's going to be hot as hell.
I mean, there's worse places in Texas you could go.
Yeah, anywhere else.
Pretty much.
literally any other city.
It's the least bad.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah,
it'll be fine.
102, 102, 100, fuck. 101 is the rest of the week.
Hell no.
And that's supposed to creep up here a little bit at the end of this week. It's supposed to be like 100 at the end of this week.
Have you gotten any tornadoes?
No.
They're not near you? I know there's been some planes, some bad stuff out in Colorado.
No, we haven't had rain in a while. Why would there be tornadoes in Colorado Springs? It's ridiculous. They have mountains next to them. Come on, mountains. Do your job.
Speaking of Colorado Springs, I haven't heard a damn thing about Pikes Peak.
I got the email about the results. I mean, and then the video on Instagram of Leah driving up to close it was, pretty emotional. But Robin Shoot won.
Wasn't Dave supposed to drive?
Who?
Texas Dave.
Oh, I don't know. I know Tanner won his class in the Radford. Randy Popes came in second in that class in the Tesla. Romain Dumas won his class in the Ford Supervan, which is super cool.
That's so silly.
Yeah. And then
did Dave do it in a Sierra car?
Is that what he was going to drive up in?
Sounds like something Dave would do.
Because I know Lucy Block drove some kind of cart.
Okay. Thing. Yeah, it looks. Dave got a video of him in a Sierra Cars cart.
Huh.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
And there's, yeah, we'll give him a call.
Yep.
If he picks up, it's the. All right, I'm going to wrap it up.
Okay.
You can rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts, or where now you can watch live on YouTube. And turns out also Twitch. Didn't realize I'd loaded that in there as well.
That's not age appropriate for the three of us, but
all the networks.
Yeah, you can do that. You can follow Jeff. He's at Hooniverse Jeff on Instagram, the Hooniverse on Twitter, the real Hooniverse on Instagram.
Oh, don't do Twitter. Fuck Twitter.
No,
I haven't tweeted in a year, probably.
Somebody tagged you in something recently because they were like, I know Jeff's not here anymore, but I'm going to tag him at least. And so we had a conversation surrounding the thing, but you didn't have to deal with it. It was good.
Oh, that's funny.
And bad. Ross is no... Do what?
Was it something bad?
No, it was something that would have been your interest, but since you were no longer there.
Oh, it's funny. I just went to click on Twitter and when you click on something, it goes right. I would have had to have logged in. Like, I've been away from
it so long.
I don't know what my password. I'm like, I don't give a shit. Fuck Twitter.
Yeah. No. And to be honest, the more and more often I've been there, the more and more I've been like, yeah, there's no really reason to be here. Other than there are some individuals I only talk to through there.
And then the next one I have to get rid of is Reddit because they're killing all the third party apps.
Bad yep. 2 weeks for Reddit.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I use Apollo. That's how I do Reddit. So it's gone, I'm done. Yeah. And I've been on Reddit for 14 and a half years.
Oh my God. I think I'm coming up on 5 years on Reddit. So
14. I know all the memes and the jokes they talk about. What was Reddit like? I'm like, fuck. I used to do this. Yeah. I've done the Secret Santa stuff when they used to do that. I've been on Reddit.
Oh my gosh.
For a long, when they used to fight Dig. Yeah. So, but I have no problem deleting my account because the way they've handled this is terrible. Bye. And it actually will be less of a time suck for me. So that's good.
It has also come to light that the guy who runs Reddit, in his early days on Reddit, he was a truly terrible, he was moderating stuff that now would make him, he'd be knocking on people's doors and he'd be on a registered list.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, God.
For if you can extrapolate from there.
All right. Well,
Reddit's the next one.
Don't do social media. Go outside.
Yeah.
Enjoy life. Media.
Yeah.
Exactly. Have some fun.
Old man yells at the sky.
Yep.